116. Psalm 116. 116th book of Psalm. When you find it, say amen. You're still looking, say, wait a minute. I'm going to read Psalm 116 in its entirety. And I'm going to read to you from the New Living Translation. Amen. Come on, brothers. Y'all come on in. Psalm 116. Amen. If you have the King James Version of the or the New King James Version, just read along. It all kind of it all goes together. Amen. I have the parallel here, but I really want to come from the New Living Translation as I read it, and we'll go back to the King James Version for our text for today. Is that all right? Psalm 116 says, "I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my prayer for mercy. Because he bends down to listen, I will pray as long as I have breath. Death wrapped its ropes around me. The terrors of the grave overtook me. I saw only trouble and sorrow." The sister said this morning, trouble don't last always. "Then I called on the name of the Lord. Please, Lord, save me. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. The Lord protects those of children like faith. I was facing death, and he saved me. Let my soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. He has saved me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. And so I walk in the Lord's presence as I live here on earth. I believe in you, so I said, I am deeply troubled, Lord. In my anxiety, I cried out for you. These people are all liars. What can I offer the Lord for all that he has done for me?" The King James Version of 12 says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Back to 13. "I will lift up the cup of salvation and praise the Lord's name for saving me. I will keep my promises to the Lord in the presence of all his people. The Lord cares deeply when his loved ones die. Oh Lord, I am your servant. Yes, am your servant. Yes, I am your servant. Born into your household, you have freed me from my chains. I will offer you a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the house of the Lord, in the heart of Jerusalem." Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If you would jump back up to, amen, to 12. Verse 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? Amen. I want to talk about today, if y'all would just give me a few minutes. I want to talk about, amen, a great question. A great question. A great question. Question. My brothers and sisters, the Bible says here in Psalm, amen, 116 and 12, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Amen. Psalm 116 is the beautiful testimony of a grateful heart. It is the testimony of a good steward. This psalm contains the testimony of every sincere believer who lives long enough to receive God's grace. After drawing out a long list of many reasons why his heart was filled with love for God, the psalmist asked a question that you and I should ask ourselves this morning. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Lord, what can I do for you? Because you've been so good to me. Not that I made all the right decisions. Not that I've always been in the right places. Not that I've always said the right. But Lord, all the things that you brought me through, what shall I render unto you? Hallelujah, somebody. For your benefits, for your grace and your mercy toward us. Have you ever found yourself asking the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, how can I serve you? Lord, how can I praise you? The psalmist has gone through some things in his life, and he called out on the Lord, and the Lord came to the rescue. Amen? Do I have anybody in the house that has ever gone through anything, and you had to call on Jesus? And then after he brings you out. Amen. Somebody, the brother sang a few weeks ago during Zion this. He said, I sure do thank you, sir. Y'all remember that when he sung that song? When the Lord has done something for us, the least we can do is just say, thank you, sir. Did you thank him? This is a good question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? The fact that I'm closed in my right mind. The fact that I have health and strength. The fact that I have a family. The fact that I'm able to stand before you this morning. Lord, what should I do for all the blessings that you bestowed upon my... The fact that I have a job to go to on Monday morning. The fact that not only a job, but I have health insurance. And if my grill fall out, I can go to the dentist and get my teeth fixed. If I can't see no more, I can go get my eyes checked. Gas is going up, but I can still put a little bit in my car. God has blessed us. Some of us have been sick unto death. I'm not talking about Tylenol sick, Pepto-Bismol sick. I'm talking about sure enough sick on your bed of affliction, and God brought you through that. God has watched over our children up and down the dangerous highways. No, they can't drive, but God has kept his hand of protection around our children. Lord, what shall I render unto you for all your benefits toward me? This question was a personal question. But for us, it should be a present question. It is a proper question for us. For some of us, it's a pressing question. It's a right now question. Because we don't have much time to demonstrate our love for the Lord as we might think. Some of us might be on debt. But what can you do for the Lord right now? I knew it'd get quiet when I said that, but you never know. What can we do for the Lord? Good question. I'm glad you asked. My brothers and sisters, those of you that take a few notes, I want you to write this down. When the psalmist says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? I begin to think and I begin to ponder on this word, and the Lord began to deal with me and begin to talk with me. And the Lord said, you know what, McGuire, you and I have been on this road for a mighty long time. You've been rolling with me for a while, but I need you to tell the people if they really want to give me something. My brothers and sisters, we can give the Lord the faith he deserves. We can give the Lord, write that down, we can give the Lord the faith that he deserves. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? We can give him some faith. Amen? The faith that he deserves. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the... Oh, Lord, have mercy. And that he is the one of them that diligently seek him. For us, either to neglect or to refuse to trust the promises of God are both an insult. It's an insult, and it deprives ourselves of the blessings of God and of the activity of God in our own lives. So when we don't have faith, my brothers and sisters, we cut ourselves off. When you walk around here on your own might and you don't have faith in God, you have faith in people, you have faith in things, you are cutting yourself off from the blessings of God. Amen? If we would praise him and demonstrate our love for him, we must trust him fully as Abraham did. Y'all know that Abraham trusted God fully, didn't he? He was known as the father of faith. Amen. In Romans 4:20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. My brothers and sisters, we have to be strong in faith. So the one thing we can do, we can give the Lord the faith that he deserves. He wants us to lean and depend on him, not them. But some of us are dependent on so many other things and not God. Good question. Glad you asked this morning. My brothers and sisters, we can give to our Lord the love he deserves. Well, what should we render unto him? Tony, we should render love unto him. Amen? The first and greatest commandment requires that we love God supremely and without reservation. Matthew 22 and 37. Y'all turn there right quick. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And if we were to number the many ways in which God has demonstrated his love for us, as the psalmist did, we would find him altogether lovely. That's one of my words, lovely. You know, you ask me, oh, that's lovely. If we were to take an inventory, if we were to take a good look, if we looked in our rearview mirror and see what the Lord, we would know that the Lord has shown us a whole lot of love. Amen? And that's the thing that we have to show him back. Amen? We would find it impossible not to ask the question contained in our heart today, but God, because God is so lovable, we should find it easy to love him with all of our hearts. Do you find it hard to love God? Some of us do. Because how can you say you love God, whom you've never seen, and hate your neighbor, whom you see daily? I knew it was going to be quiet when we talked about love, because some of y'all, it's certain folks, you don't want to love. But the Bible tells us if you truly want to be blessed, you should love your enemies. You should bless those that curse you. Whoa! Can I testify for a minute? I got cussed out so bad Friday. Your pastor got cussed raggedy. And before I got cussed out, your first lady, if that's what you want to call her, Sister Candy, don't bother nobody. She got cussed too. Family cussing. And I seen a time, my brothers and sisters, in the OC, in the AC. See, I used to, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. See, that used to be me. But you know what? As the brother was cussing, I don't know if Candy cussed him or not. We're not going to talk about that. I just know what I did. But you know what? I showed love throughout the whole conversation. And you know what would happen if I'd have cussed that brother out? Every last one of y'all would know it this morning. Because that's what Satan tries to do. He tried to pull you out in the middle of the street. I see them cars coming. So go on and cuss, man. You'll be all right. I said, look, man, what can I do to make you feel better? Do I need to pray for you? You want some money? I mean, you want to hug? What you want me? I was kind of sarcastic, though. I will say that. But what can I do? But I showed the brother love. Because you know what? If you acting a fool over stuff that don't make no sense, you know what? You need somebody to love you. So the next time somebody starts acting crazy with you, don't act crazy back with them. Show them some love. Because when you show them love, you're showing the love of Christ. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know we want everybody to be perfect because we're so perfect. But everybody in here got some issues. Amen. Yours just in the closet with bone, with meat on the bone, not skeletons. Some of you got full people. Open up the closet. There's people standing all in. Man, ain't no room for you. Close the closet, man. There's enough of us in here already. Amen. Your stuff just ain't been exposed. Ain't nobody open up the closet, though. All right. But if we, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? The first thing we can do is we can give the Lord faith, the faith that he deserves, and we can give the Lord the love that he deserves. And in giving the Lord the love that he deserves, you got to love other folks. That's the point I really want to hit home. Amen? And also, my brothers and sisters, we can give to our Lord the obedience that's essential. All right, Pastor, I got the faith and I got the love. But obedience, that's the one thing we can give God is obedience. Y'all know what that is? Act right. Do right. Be right. We used to sing a song, I just want to be right. I just want to be right. I just want to be right. When you see me sing my song, I just want to be right. Didn't that sound good? When you see me walking along, I just want to be right. Fellas, have me sing. I just want to be right. Y'all remember that song by Keith Wonderboy? Does anybody here want to be right? All right, well, watch this. Watch this. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, if ye love me, keep my commandments. That's John 14 and 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I know we don't want to do that. It's tight, but it's right because we love that grace and mercy thing, and that's what's going to get us. That's salvation. But you know what? My brothers and sisters, the world is watching us. That brother that cussed me out, he was waiting on me to cuss him back because then I wouldn't be showing love. Amen? And you call yourself a preacher. There you go. Everything I do, you're supposed to be a preacher. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to be a disciple. Telling me what I'm supposed to be. You ought to be, you supposed, you, well, we all, you on the boat too. Jesus said to his disciples and to us, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 and 15. The Heavenly Father prefers that the love be a motive behind our service, and it's love and not fear. Some of us love, some of us do what the Lord wants us to do out of fear. Y'all remember them old preachers, boy, God gonna get you. You gonna bust hell wide open. Yeah. Might. But a lot of people came to God because they were scared. And I guess that's all right if this is the way you want to come. But you know what? I would prefer to come to God because God is so loving. Amen? I mean, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My brothers, it's a love thing, not a scare thing, not a fear thing. Amen? The Lord would have us to labor in his vineyard because of love rather than out of fear of consequences of being disobedient. There is no substitute, my brothers and sisters, for obedience. Everywhere in the Bible where you see blessings, you'll see obedience before it. When you line up and do what the Lord asks you to do, there are blessings behind it. Amen? Some of us, when we mess up, when we're disobedient, it's not that we miss out on salvation. He don't take that away from us. But those blessings that God has in store for you, you just disqualified yourself to receive them. Amen? He ain't finna put good stuff in a dirty jar. Any of y'all put leftovers in the dirty Tupperware? Got mold growing in it? No, you don't, do you? Put it in a clean jar. Amen. It's gone through the cycle. It's been washed and dried and all that good stuff. And then you seal it. And when it's sealed, it lasts a long time, don't it? And y'all know about prayer preserve, and them old mason jars. And you keep stuff a long time. This stuff's still in my grandma's house, still sealed up. Grandma been dead since 93, and canned the stuff back in the 80s. It's still in there because nobody ever broke the seal. Don't you know when you are truly a child of God and you sealed? The preservation is all about the sealing. That's a whole nother sermon. We give to our Lord the obedience that an obedience is essential. Amen. What must I do? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? My brothers and sisters, obedience. Are y'all with me this morning? Tony, I'm finna hurry to my close. You all right? You'll know, because I feel something this morning. We can give our Lord, we can give to our Lord a dedicated body. What should I render unto you, Lord, for all the benefits that you bestowed in my life? Faith, love, obedience. And then you know what God could really use? Your body. And I'll tell you why. Y'all with me? Turn to Romans 12 and 1. Romans 12 and 1, and we're almost done. Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what the word said. That's what the word said. That's what Paul said. So the body of the believer is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to take care of, because your body houses the Holy Spirit. Your body, your flesh, your body, your bones, it houses the Comforter. And if you believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, you got God walking in you. So we got to clean it up. Want to be in no dirty jaw. Oh. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. The body is the tool that the inner man is to use in doing the work of God. So if the body is the tool for the inner man, see, there's somebody else in me. I'm bipolar. Amen. I'm bipolar, but the more I stay in this word, the more I'm that inner man, that spiritual man. Amen. See, that fleshly man wanted to cuss that dude out. Matter of fact, the fleshly man wanted to go and say, hey, you know what? Meet me somewhere. We can go and handle this right now. But because the inner man is working, and because I have faith in God, number one, because I have love for people, number two, even my enemies, because I'm obedient to God's word, then number four, I can keep my members where they ought to be. I can keep my hands where my hands belong. I can keep my... Tony, when you see her walk through, I say, that ain't me, that ain't mine. Talking about the body. Because when we mess up in the body, and some of us have messed up in the body, when we mess up in the body, guess what? What Satan wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy, so then he messes up our witness. Let Pastor McGuire get caught up in some mess. And now I can't tell nobody nothing because my body got in the wrong place. Whoa, Lord, where am I? Whoa, this ain't my house. Because my body. Keep our body where it ought to be, we can save ourselves from a whole lot of trouble. I know y'all don't want to hear this morning. Somebody might have been thinking about creeping or sneaking or doing something like that. I'm just telling you what, you can give God your body for all the greatness and all the wonderful things that he's done for you right here this morning. Hold your nose and swallow it. It's good for you. Peter encouraged a believer in Rome to dedicate their physical bodies as an act of worship. You know, anybody here ever been tempted? Okay, y'all playing this morning. Yup, I have been tempted. Candy, you may want to leave. I've been tempted. Thank you, Sister Roberta. He told them to dedicate their body as an act of worship. Don't you know when we can do wrong and we do right? God says, that's my boy. That's my girl. That's my daughter. That's my baby. Jesus said, see, God, look at my sister. And then they look at Satan and say, nah, 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 nah. Ain't that good? When we do what we're supposed to, but guys, I know we're going to mess up. So please, please don't walk out of here saying, what preacher thing? No, you're going to mess up. But you know what? Let's work on the percentages. I tell people all the time, I want us to be, amen, A-plus Christians. That means 100.
I want us all to have 100 on our report card when we stand before Christ. And he go through the book, and he, when we stand before judgment, he say, boy, you ain't got nothing in here. What? Where did you live? Because I lived according to your word. That's where I live. I walked in the spirit. Come on, walk it out. That's a part of worship when we don't do what we want to do, because this stuff want to do some stuff, y'all. And when we subject our bodies to doing what Christ wants us to do, it's almost as a gift on the altar of Jesus Christ, so he can say, look at them. When he wrote to the Corinthians, I'm talking about Paul, he declared that the spirit as well as the body belonged to God, and that each believer should magnify and glorify God and make God known in and through his body. That's why you came to church this morning. Your body's in the right place. But where is your mind? Sister, you want me to say it again? Your body is in the right place, my brothers and sisters, but where is your mind? My brothers and sisters, faithfully and joyfully, we should give ourselves both in praising our God and in seeking to persuade others to trust him and love him. If we would get these four essential things down, my brothers and sisters, we could be better Christians. I realize that I really hope that we are A+, but you know, sometimes we fall down to A- and B- and C, but you're still passing. Amen. And by accepting him, you can be a C. Amen. But you can be a witness for him, and people will follow you, and you will follow the great commission that we go out and compel men and women if we would follow these four essential things. Amen. That's what I want Orange Chapel to do. That's what I want us to be. Amen? As we do this, we bring the greatest possible glory to God, and we render the greatest possible service to our own fellow brothers and sisters when we follow these four essentials. Give God faith. Give God love. And by giving God love, we have to give people love. Are y'all with me? Be obedient to his word. You got to know the word to know what the word says. And then, my brothers and sisters, we got to keep a body. We can't be a busybody. Amen? My brothers and sisters, so many people have come into contact with Jesus Christ. As we look in this great book, the Bible, that has been left for us as an instruction manual. Amen. I found myself the other night when I was preparing for this sermon, and I began to write things down, talking about a good question. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I realized that I wasn't the only person that's been blessed by God. If you were to be real this morning, amen, and look in your rearview mirror, you would see all the peaks and all the valleys that the Lord has brought you through. Some of you, amen, have been sick unto death, but the Lord brought you out. My brothers and